There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that goes to infinity and, well, you really can't go past that. So, and joining me, as always, is Lee. No, because infinity is the...
Hi, infinity's it? That's it? Really?
That's the... By definition, it is not the. By definition, it is not the end, but it is just the beginning.
It's what we know now.
Yes.
Go with that.
Sure. Okay, Lee, you had a couple of things before we get to our wonderful guest today that you wanted to make sure you highlight for these last few days before Dragon Con.
These last few days before Dragon Con. Okay, so a couple of things before Dragon Con. First of all, we are doing this the weekend before DragonCon. I don't know when you're going to hear it, but that's up to John because I don't handle
probably
that.
Monday or whenever they download it.
Yeah, whenever you download it. Hopefully, on your way to DragonCon, you're listening to all 40 something plus hours we will be having on this.
We do know some people do.
What?
I said we know some people do.
Yeah, we do, and that's awesome. Go! But first of all, so if you hear me in the background making kind of weird noises, it's because I am actually cooking. My staff is coming over tomorrow. We are setting up their times to work and talking about some other stuff, and I give them the rules and everything, but I also feed them a homemade lasagna that is me. I make it, two little hands, you're hearing it in the background. So the
weird sounds you'll hear is hell freezing over, but go on.
It is kind of hell freezing over because I do not cook. I cook about 3 times a year. This time and Thanksgiving are 2 of them. The other couple of things is tipping. I know this is going to sound really weird, but I want to remind people that, and I'm not talking about tipping DragonCon people. I'm talking about tipping all those people that are in hotels, that are in housekeeping, that are in restaurants you may go to, coffee shops, whatever. Folks, they're working their butts off. All of the hotels bring in extra people for this, that everything from housekeeping to electrical, all the way up to, they actually bring in extra managers, I've heard. So, you know, when you are staying in a hotel room, you know, giving a buck or two per person when somebody's cleaning your room is a great idea. And I understand that is should be every day. Also, remember to tip your waiters. 15% is standard. If there's a real problem, talk to the supervisor. Don't take it out on that server. Unless the problem is the server, then talk to the manager before you just stiff them on a tip because they need to know too. Just don't stiff people. Don't be a jerk. That is Dragon Con rule number 7. And I just kind of want to remind people of that. And that doesn't really go for Dragon Con, but that's tipping. You know, my husband's a chef. My son works now in the service industry. My sister has in the past. Just remember, all of these people are working really, really hard. And so please remember that. And this also goes when you are in a hospitality suite. Some of the hotels, if you're a VIP status or you have extra whatevers, they have like, you know, times when you can go in there and get free food or snacks or whatever. I am not talking Dragon Con. I'm talking at your individual hotel.
That's so hospitality, like that, not con suite.
Yeah, that's not con suite. That's not the place John still can't find after X number of years. This is your hospitality in your hotels. Remember, tip them. You know, leave a buck or two if you're getting a free breakfast or whatever. Those people are cleaning up after you. They are putting it out. They are doing their best to help everybody there. So just kind of remember that. Just FYI. And tell them thank you and smile at them because they're doing, oh my God, they're doing a lot of work. And that's it, John. I just wanted to say that.
So,
because hell is freezing over because I am cooking.
So one thing that we, my group of people, when I was going with all my buddies, not that my family's not my buddies, but we started taking to leaving a little note and then, with a tip every single day for the cleaner. And there's a couple of nefarious reasons why, which one would be, hey, you know, if you've got like 7 people in a room and we're only reporting 3, you know, make it worth their while not to say anything.
Make it worth their while to be quiet about it.
Yep. And on top of that, they've also got a hell of a lot of things to do. Plus, because, as you said, they have a lot of people, extra people coming in. It may not be the same cleaner every single day, the same housekeeper every single day. So,
thank you. That's exactly right. Yep.
And if you need extra towels or whatever, you know, it's nice that you tip them a little bit. And we left them. We always leave them a little note. Thank you for doing a great job. We appreciate it. Can you leave a couple of extra towels? And thank
leave
you
a couple blah, blah. Of extra coffee packets or something like that. Right. You know, if you are nice about it, they're nice to you. I promise you.
Yep.
I promise.
Yep. So there's that. Plus, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you're just so in awe of the great view you have of the night sky. This is a odd transition into our guest.
I was waiting on how you were going to get there, but good job. So again, after you tip them, you know, maybe you're going to feel really like at one with the universe and you want to look at the universe. So you can go over here to the space track, who is Rain, who's the director we've got on here. I have no idea how I got there, John, just go with it. And Rain, how you doing?
I'm good. That was an excellent segue by both of you. I must say that was nicely done. Just slid right in there.
Yeah. No one could tell. And by drawing attention to it, we don't make it
actually. If we were doing this any year except for this year, you could have just easily said, "And yes." And when you're looking out the glass elevator, you know, overlooking the tennis courts of the Hilton, you would have seen the solar astronomy set up. Except that it's not going to be there this year.
Because
they blew away the pool and the tennis courts to build a bigger, better, brand new, massively sized ballroom at the Hilton.
I can't. Everybody I am hearing who has walked into the Hilton says it looks like a brand new Hilton. So I'm like, well, they already did a reno a couple of years ago that reminded me of a brand new Hilton. So I cannot wait to see it. I have not been in the Hilton. So this will be my first time too on Wednesday or Thursday or whenever the heck I get down there. But cool.
The registration desk is now across from where that downstairs little coffee place used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all the way down. You know, on the escalator that led up to the second floor where all of the reality tracks used to be, that's gone. And that's basically gone. where the registration desk is. But anyway, speaking of solar astronomy, I need everybody to know we did not get rid of it. We worked very hard with DragonCon management. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. DragonCon higher ups. This great big new ballroom actually has doors that lead out to this really cool set of stairs where apparently historically a lot of the cosplayers have done their picture taking.
Yeah.
It is kind of on the lowest level, going down to the lowest level of the Hilton. And if you're sort of down near where the Crystal Ballroom, if you go out to the outside where the Crystal Ballroom is, there's one area where everybody goes out to smoke. But if you go on that same level outside to the other end, closer to the street end, that is where those stairs are. And we have taken over a corner of that area, and that is where solar astronomy is going to be from now on. So all of you solar astronomy fans who are listening to this, we will hopefully have signs up that show exactly where it is as well. But we did not do away with solar astronomy. Stephen will still be there, especially after this phenomenal solar eclipse. Everybody will have questions.
Oh, it was so cool. It was so cool. The first time ever my husband's wanted to go to my hometown because we were right on the line of where it went through in South Carolina. But and cosplayers who want to get all their pictures taken, we didn't take, it's not gone. Okay.
It's not gone. You still have your stairs, those really cool stairs. And while you're waiting, you know, to get your picture taken, you can come over and look through the phenomenal, phenomenal, probably like $250,000 setup that he's got about $500,000 worth of stuff there. Setup that Stephen Ramsden brings in through his charity, Charlie Bates Solar Astronomy Project. Let me put that out there every year. And he does this for us. And he is so amazing. And he does a lot of giveaways, too. Most of the people in the Southeast area, especially if they have kids, got their solar glasses through Stephen because he goes to all the schools.
Oh, that's cool. Oh,
He does that as a giveaway. That's his charity.
Now,
awesome.
Now, are there those glasses are only good for the eclipse, right? They're only.
Yes. If you use them for anything else, you see pitch blackness. You do not even want to walk with them on unless you are looking at.
Yeah, tried them on. It's black. Now, let me ask this dumb question because maybe it'll prevent somebody else.
No such thing as dumb questions.
Could I still look at the sun with them with those on?
Yes. A couple of years back, Venus did a transit in front of the sun. That was back in like 2013 or 2014. I can't remember exactly. And I used my solar eclipse glasses to actually watch Venus transit in front of the sun because allows you to just stare right at the sun without hurting your eyes.
But you still do want to look away every.
No, you don't need to.
Really?
Yeah, as long as you've got those glasses on your eyes, you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but somebody will do something stupid. Don't do it for hours. But yes,
unless you have one of the really deluxe pair that are more like wraparound sunglasses when you don't have to worry about them falling off or anything. And the other thing, of course, is craning your neck up that high after a while is going to hurt. So not your eyes, just your neck.
Well, cool. So tell us exactly what does the, obviously it covers space, but what does the space track cover and who do you have for guests this year?
Oh my goodness. My saying to everybody is we bring the universe to you. My space track covers things that happen, in our own skies, in our solar system, out amongst the galaxy and out amongst the universe. I mean, gravitational waves has made big, big talk in the last year or two because they finally discovered it after 100 years that, since Einstein first, postulated the theory. So we have talks on that and we have talks on, Cassini, oh my goodness, Cassini has been at Saturn for like, it'll be 13 years just before Cassini crashes or dives purposely into Saturn this year. Yes, like 11 days after Con ends, Cassini will make its final dive into Saturn. I've been talking about Cassini since, I think 2005, and I started with DragonCon in 2003. So we've been talking about Cassini for a long time. This is also the 40th anniversary. I'm sorry, what, Lee?
I was going to say, I know you and my son, actually, when he was younger, spent like 20 or 30 minutes at one DragonCon meeting talking about Cassini because he's very into that kind of stuff. And he was this was when he was little and adorable. And you guys like talked forever about this. This was early on, like 2007, 2008. He came with me to a meeting or something. And so, you've been talking about Cassini a while, and that is kind of awesome.
And we're bringing back all but one of the people who have ever talked to us about Cassini. We have five different scientists who only two of them are still currently working on Cassini. The others have gone on to other things. One isn't even at JPL anymore, but all five of them will be there for our final Cassini talk, which is, I think it's like goodbye Cassini. Thanks. And thanks for all the pictures or something along those lines. but we have four talks about Cassini, on Sunday, starting at, I think at 4:30 and going through 8:30, the final one at 8:30. So that's a big thing. Voyager, the two Voyager space probes, one of which is interstellar space. Yesterday was the fifth anniversary of Voyager 1's entry into interstellar space. So that was a nice little anniversary. But it is the 40th anniversary of their launches this year. And September 5th, the day
after.
Hold on, wait a second.
John, you remember we were talking the other day about something being 40 years and we couldn't believe it?
Yeah.
Can you believe Voyager's been 40 years? Because I remember doing like the whole school year. I would have been seven. So I guess first or second grade, depending on when it was, talking about like having like half a year. Such a baby. But
you are
talking about Voyager. I am so not.
It doesn't seem like Janeway's that old.
That's so funny. And if she were there, she could kick your butt for that. Well, no, actually saying she's not that old is actually okay. But do you remember doing all that in school with Voyager?
No, I went to a crappy public school here in
I went to
Florida.
A crappy public school too, and we
yeah,
did not
well,
well.
You didn't go to Florida public school.
Yeah, I went to South Carolina, but yeah, I guess we did better than you. But that's so cool. I'm sorry, 40 years. It just kind of is amazing. But keep going.
I have my own little attachment to Voyager. And this is why one of the reasons I always keep bringing up Voyager. I used to work for Turner Broadcasting in their nonfiction documentary unit. And when Voyager made its final flyby of a planet, which was Voyager 2, went by Neptune. And my unit worked with Carl Sagan and his wife, Andrian, who actually had a production company. And they put on the big party at JPL. That had Chuck Berry and all of that. And I remember getting a phone call from Andrian one afternoon when she said, I need to talk to Chuck Berry. And it was like, I'm sorry, what?
What? You know,
yeah, I don't quite happen to have his phone number in my back pocket. And she said, no, it's very important. I have to talk to Chuck Berry. I need you to find him. So fortunately, I was working for Turner Broadcasting, and we did have an entertainment unit there. And I called somebody over there, explained what was going on, and they talked to somebody else and called me back and said, here's his agent's number. And so I called the agent's number, explained who I was, explained what was going on, and they said, oh, he's right here. So I got him on the phone and I explained that Carl and Ann really wanted to talk to him. And he goes, oh, I love them dolly people. You all call them right back. Tell them where I am. And I did. And in less than half an hour.
That was like so cool to talk to Chuck Berry. Oh my gosh.
Yes, okay. It was. And in less than half an hour after she called me, I had Ann Durian on the phone with Chuck Berry. Now, people in Atlanta may have not been happy about that talk because as it turned out, they were getting him to go out and perform there at that big celebration. But that same night that celebration was, he was supposed to be performing in Atlanta. He canceled that concert so he could go out to California and JPL and do that talk. Nice. And I escorted the model of Voyager. We had gotten it from JPL to do what they called interstitials, you know, for television or whatever. And it could not travel by itself. So they had their own seat on a Delta jet way back then, and I assisted them on the plane back to California. That was the first time I'd ever been to California. So that's my Voyager story, and that's why I love it so.
There you go.
But guess. Oh, I have to say this. I have an astronaut this year. I am so excited. I always get really excited when I get an astronaut. Not that I'm not excited normally. But Garrett Reisman is a NASA astronaut. He flew on Atlantis, he flew on Endeavour, and he flew on Discovery. He's done three spacewalks. He is the favorite astronaut of Stephen Colbert. He did Stephen Colbert's very last show. He spent 2 weeks on NASA's underwater facility called Nemo. And he will be at DragonCon this year. Turns out he is really good friends with Michael Hogan, Colonel Ty from Battlestar Galactica, and he heard Colonel Ty, Michael Hogan talk about it so much that he said to him, I want to come to DragonCon. So he's doing two talks for Space Trek.
That is awesome. Where are those talks going to be? And when are they?
Both of them are in the brand new ballroom, the big, huge, massive ballroom. I just hope I can fill it. Please, if you're listening, please, 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 please come see my Garrett Reisman talk. The first one, let me pull up my trusty duty schedule. I should know these by heart. I know it's on Saturday. So let's see.
As long as it's not during the parade. Don't do an astronaut against the parade. But I don't think we do that
before. We did that before with Richard Gordon, Apollo astronaut, and no astronaut would talk to us for years after that.
So we don't do that anymore.
Saturday at 5:30, Adventures of Garrett Reisman, NASA astronaut, will be in Grand East. And he will be what he will talk about at the end is something that we've never officially been able to talk about because nobody from that company would ever talk to us. He now works for SpaceX.
Nice.
He's going to talk about SpaceX. He's not coming to talk about SpaceX as a whole as an employee, but he'll talk about it a little bit.
Talk about it as a concept.
As a concept. And then on Sunday, unfortunately at 10 a.m., that was not my doing, I am going to have Lord British, which is Richard Garriott, who has also obviously been on the ISS. And he and Garrett Reisman know each other because, of course, Richard Garriott's father was a NASA astronaut as well, Owen Garriott. And then another woman who works at Marshall Space Flight Center, Rebecca Kim. She works with the Human Exploration Program. And they are going to talk about living and working on the ISS. And that is also in the Grand East at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. So two talks. I am so psyched. I have a NASA astronaut this year.
That is awesome. Now, not only do you do good works by bringing, the space to us, the universe to us, but you also do good works for the charity. What do you guys do for the charity?
I try really, really hard, and that we've been really pushing this. And I will say, I mentioned Turner Broadcasting. One of the things I did when I was at Turner Broadcasting as well, I did Turner used to do this Better World Society Awards things, and one year they did this, and the Special Olympics won an award. And I put together a whole piece, video piece, that was aired at this show. And the Special Olympics liked it so much, they actually got permission from Turner to use it as a promotional piece. So, and I did that. I was very proud of it. So this is a big year for me as far as Special Olympics, because of course this year's charity is Georgia Special Olympics. And what I'm doing this year, I managed to grab hold of a very hard to get hold of Lego Saturn V set.
Oh, wow.
Which coincidentally has 1969 pieces in it. And of course it launched in 19 and they landed on the moon in 1969. Mm. I thought that was very good of them. And I am going to have that signed by all of my NASA people, by Richard Garriott, who has been into space on the ISS, and by our astronaut, Garrett Reisman. And then it will go up on the charity auction. So get your little money, your money barrels out for that. And
I'm actually really worried about this being broadcast because my husband is such a huge astronaut person that I'm very, very worried we will have no money. So that'll be good. Good, good job. Way to go.
Have him come. And then for about the last 4 years, I started doing them on my own. I have created, I have my own little Space Track logo that I had created. I designed and had somebody else make it pretty. And about 4 years ago, I did a challenge coin that had my logo on one side and had Space Track on the other. And since then, each year, I've taken sort of something big that either my track was going to talk about or that was going on, and I do these coins. And I do them two different types. I do one in like a different metal plating, like the nice big shiny one. And I give those out to my guests each year because my guests, a lot of my guests actually get paid to talk elsewhere. And of course, they don't get that at DragonCon. They come out of the largesse of their hearts and because they love DragonCon. So I try and reward them with, you know, whatever little things I can. But then I do another one that it looks just as cool. It's just in a different type of metal plating, and I sell them. And so I did that the first year with my my logo coin and just Space Track on the back. I did it with Mars. I had one, my logo on one side and Mars on the other. Last year, I did it with my logo was on one side. And then the second side was the solar eclipse coming across because this Woo-hoo! Year was going to be such a big year that I'm doing two. And the only people who know what these two are my volunteers. So I will put it out here now. One of them is the Voyager coin, and it is These two coins are good. Everybody's told me they're the best coins I've done. The first one has the Voyager gold record. And I mean, I couldn't believe how much detail they managed to get into this little coin of that gold record. And sort of sitting right on top of that is the Cassini probe. And then the second one is, the Voyager probe. And then the second one is the Saturn the planet Saturn with the rings, and then I've highlighted two of its big moons. Titan is the moon, and then Enceladus is the other moon that's big just because of what it does. Of course, it has the geysers that sprawled out and which just blew everybody's brains out when they first saw those. And then it has the Cassini probe sort of overlooking it. And they are stunning. They are absolutely stunning. And so I sell both of those, and then the money goes to charity. So those are my things. You know, I can't reach anywhere near what Stargate does. Stargate does such phenomenal things with their charity.
Nobody can. It's just
nobody can. But I do what I can, and I think I did about a little over $1,500 last year. So I was very happy with that.
Oh, that is very good.
No, hey, that's great.
Which really means you did $3,000.
That's so, right.
Since all gets matched, so
right.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I forgot about that. Yes, thank you.
So there you go.
Something else I'd like to mention to everybody. One of the other things that my Space Track is very, very into, obviously STEM, STEAM is huge because, of course, we have an administration who doesn't necessarily believe in that type of thing. But even before he was there, you know, funding has been cut short in a lot of our schools, and they have a hard time teaching anything but what is, you know, the 5 pages that is in their science book. So I've always had a freebie table, and I try and bring in, you know, little white papers or little giveaways that are science related. And all of my guests from whatever group that they're with, you know, if they have outreach programs, they bring in stuff as well. And we do that free giveaways. I have my one of my astronomers, Bill Keel, Dr. Bill Keel out of the University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa. He brings me these gorgeous lithographs that have stunning images from space telescopes. And they have all the information about what the picture is on the back. And he brings piles of those to me every year for free.
Okay, and guys, those are apps. If you've never seen one of these lithographs, if you're like wondering if your kid is now starting to be into the sciencey stuff, you know, we got that second and almost third generation now of Dragon Connors. Take them over there and look at them. Those are gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous lithographs.
They really are. Awesome. And then, you know, my NASA people, because I have like, you know, a ton of NASA people. In fact, I've got two new NASA people coming this year from Marshall Space Flight Center. They always bring like the NASA meatball stickers, and they do like little cards on different missions, and we have those. So I have all sorts of things. But beyond that, for about 5 years now, I have done what we call a NASA Kids Workshop. And that is open to all of the kiddies. It is done separate from my regular programming. It has its own room, and they do all sorts of things. They have made little toothbrush robots. I can't even tell you all that, you know, they've literally shown the whole solar system and, you know, figured out the spacing in between it using pieces of candy and balls and all. I mean, they just do all sorts of things. And that is always run by Sam Ortega, who is also out of Marshall Space Flight Center. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. And he brings in a whole bunch of people as well. And he also has built a hovercraft with his son. And he did that first year. And oh my goodness, you want to hear kids squealing with delight as when they are being pulled on this hovercraft down a hallway.
Oh, really?
And cool. Some of them, even adults, have been on that thing. And we didn't have it last year. There wasn't enough space. But he's told me that he's rebuilt it, and he told me he's going to bring it again this year. So something else for the kiddies. If you're always looking for fun things to do, there is that. There is my solar astronomy, of course. Stephen does a lot of giveaways with solar astronomy as well. So those are things. And when we do, we have a talk on outreach and different ways that outreach is being done, because those things are very, very important to us. And I know you'll find that same type of thing, outreach programs through the Science Track. So props to Stephen Grenade, you know, with Science Track Director, because he does that as well. And I believe Skeptics might do something along that. And EFF does a talk on women in tech. I do a talk on my Women of NASA. So we push those types of things because we want girls to know that they are powerful and they can do just as much as any boy out there. And Mike's, you know,
exactly.
That's true.
Exactly. Woohoo!
Well, since we haven't mentioned it yet, where is your actual track room?
Okay. I am in, last year I got a brand new room. This year they have moved. Well, actually last year they did this. We're in the Hilton on the second floor, but not, it used to be we were on the second floor where the escalator used to be.
Right.
And now they've moved all but Skeptics. Skeptics and podcasting are still in that area. But if you go to the same level opposite wing, you now have space, which is in room 212 and 213. And then across from us is science. And then just up from science is EFF. So all of what we call the reality tracks, with the exceptions of robotics and makers, we're all on the same level. Makes it easy because you come across the habit trail and you either go right over to Skeptics and Podcasting, you go left over to Science, Space, and EFF. The room is bigger than we've gotten an upgrade a little bit over the last couple of years. The room is supposed to hold, I think, 190 people. Obviously, we can't get that many in there because we've got, you know, the platform and everything. Mm-hmm. But we've been pretty much filling up that room completely. So if there is a talk that you are really, really interested in, yes, you do not have a 2-hour wait like you would for any of the big name celebrities that come to DragonCon. But if it looks like you think it's going to be a popular track, don't wait to the last minute to come.
Yeah. I'm not sure, just so people don't get confused. I think podcasts might have moved down underneath the where the gaming used to be, all the down with Oh, there's a couple other tracks down there. I think Brit Track is
Star Trek is down there, I thought. Yeah, this year at the Hilton is going to be really weird because we've never had big tracks there before. We had Walk of Fame, you know, which was in the old big ballroom. And there's now the newer big ballroom. But I never had to deal with them because, you know, we came in and out of the Habit Trail. But to have big tracks also in the Hilton is going to be strange.
Right.
Because we've never had to compete with them.
It's an interesting way of doing it. Yeah, it is. It's going to be interesting.
It very much. And I didn't know about podcasting. Thank you. I just I didn't realize they had moved that room. Maybe that means that Skeptics is taking over yet another room. Although no,
I don't think they did. I think there was some reconfiguration of that whole area just in general as well.
Oh, that's because they did do they took out some of that for the big new ballroom.
Yeah,
that's part of why they took away the pool and the tennis courts where Solar Strong used to be.
Yeah, they got much higher ceilings now. So.
It's you go in there, it is cavernous, and it's really cool because they actually have kind of a setup area before you walk into the main room.
I was
back and forth over there any number of times when we were trying to figure out where we were going to move Solar Astronomy to. And I went in there one day and they were doing whatever convention was having a dinner or lunch. And so a lot of the prep and setup for that lunch, you know, bringing in everything in was being done in that sort of staging area. You walk in the doors, there is a wide, long staging area, and then you walk into another set of doors that brings you into the ballroom. And then on that left-hand side are like two or three sets of big doors that lead out to those stairways where the cosplayers like to get their pictures taken.
Yeah, cool.
So it is all linked together. Oh, and something else I wanted to get out there besides that, the gravitational waves, if you're into that type of thing. Of course, I have two talks on that. Another big astronomical, or not astronomical, but commercial space group that I have never, ever been able to get a peep out of, and almost nobody has until sort of this year, Blue Origin.
One of my very
long-term guests who started out working at a group here in town called Spaceworks Engineering, and he moved on to Virgin Galactic, and he just took a job earlier this year with Blue Origin. He's gotten permission to speak. And so for the first time ever, we are actually opening Space Track in a large room.
Oh, really?
Blue Origin will be our first talk. It is in the Crystal Ballroom at 10 a.m. on Friday. So that's very different from us. We had never done anything like that before.
That's really cool because I'm just now looking it up and I never heard of them, but them up on
Blue Origin Wikipedia. That's Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon and Washington Post fame, and he very quietly
and now Whole Foods, but go on
that too. And I won't talk about that. I love what he does space wise. He very quietly was doing a lot of launch work and different types of rockets, not broadcasting every little step he made, like SpaceX was doing, and some of the other commercial space groups. So when he finally went out there and started to show things, he wasn't showing his failures. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has failures when working in space in general, whether it's commercial, whether it's NASA, it's hard and it's tough. And even when you've done it right a zillion times, we all know it can go wrong. But he's had some very successful launches, and he's, as I said, just to get any type of information on that just blew me away that I was actually going to have somebody actually working for the company who officially was going to be able to come and talk at DragonCon, because I've never been able to get anybody officially from SpaceX to even talk to me before. So this is exciting. For somebody like me, it's really exciting. And then, of course, I have a commercial space talk that I do every year, just general. And that's going to talk about...
I think it's exciting no matter who you are. That is really kind of cool.
It really is. And my general commercial space talk this year is going to be different. Instead of talking about the big companies and their big launches, because we do have a little bit of that, I have a group of people... and one person from NASA, Sam Ortega, who deals with a lot of these commercial space people, looking more at the smaller companies that basically are the ones that make commercial space go. We've got a woman here locally in town that I'd never even heard of before until she applied to Dragon Con this year. And she runs a company that does PR, that supplies training, that, you know, that does personnel, that type of thing, but all specifically for space related groups. You know, you have people who make the sensors, you know, who go on the big objects, you know, the satellites or whatever that get launched, people who actually, you know, design the small CubeSats that get launched. A lot of the smaller things that are on these rockets and spacecraft that are actually being launched. So the launches get all of the publicity, but it's actually what they're launching that is more important. You know, in a couple of years, even NASA, one of my favorite guests ever, and he is phenomenal to us, Les Johnson, works at Marshall Space Flight Center. His big thing, and he does a lot of different things. You know, he's he's an author, both lay science and science fiction, and he's a senior technologist at Marshall Space Flight Center. But his big thing is solar sails. He loves solar sails. And he's got a couple of patents on solar sails.
They sound so neat. They sound so neat. Sorry.
They really are. But he is one of the people that's involved in a launch that will be done in a couple of years from the SLS system. And they're putting a solar sail system into, you know, one of the I don't know how big of a CubeSat it's going to be or if it's actually a CubeSat, but it's not this massive, you know, satellite thing that's going to launch. It is fairly small, but it will open up this really large solar sail. And they'll be going out towards an asteroid. Mm. You know, so there's just a lot of really cool things that go on in commercial space that you don't really hear of. And so that's why I decided to sort of focus on that this year, that, you know, rather than launching, you know, talk about the big launches, we're going to talk about the smaller companies and what they're doing. So, and we've got I've got Mars still, we're talking Jupiter and Saturn. We're talking, as I mentioned, the Cassini grand finale. We're talking about a Carrington event. If either one of you have known what a Carrington event is.
I have no idea.
Back in, I think it's 1859, I may have my day wrong. Yes, 1859, there was a solar mass ejection so large, you know, and back then our major form of communication were telegraphs. It literally shorted out almost all of the telegraph systems.
The telegraphs, really?
The telegraphs, yeah. I mean, it's when you have a mass ejection so large that and is aimed right at the Earth, it literally just goes, for the most part, right through our shielding, our magnetic shielding. And so it comes in at the poles. And there were auroras down to the Caribbean level that year. I mean, they were just, it was just that big an event. So take that forward and think of everything we've got up in our skies right now and how they affect our lives each day. I mean, you go get money and you're taking it from your bank and it is basically going up through a satellite and coming down and talking to the banks. You take traffic, you take the trucking system that brings us all of our, you know, so much of our food and everything. All of those things are satellite related at this point, you know, GPS and all of that. And if we have another event, and we will at some point, that big, I mean, it would take out our transformers.
And there's more than meets the eye to those.
Oh, yeah. And you can't just go to the transformer store down the street and, you know, say, hey, but, you know, we need a couple of 100,000 transformers. They have to be rebuilt and configured to whatever area and what's going on. Mm-hmm. It could set back our society massively by years and years and years.
Yeah.
So we're talking.
Okay. Now I'm depressed.
Let's just come back. So we're talking about all sorts of different things.
Cool. The science track again. Where are you located?
Shame. Space track.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Space track.
We used to be one track, and in fact, this is the other thing. This is our 10th anniversary.
Oh, great!
It was 10 years ago that Space and Science Track was split into two separate tracks. So technically, it is the 10th anniversary for Science Trek as well. And I've told Steven that, but I guess he's ignoring it. I am not. I'm actually having a little party on Saturday morning as we do our solar eclipse party. Everybody's sort of talking about that. If you have solar eclipse pictures or story and you want to come tell it, come. It's starting at 9 o'clock. We'll have, you know, little party thing there. And then we have our actual scientists talking about the solar eclipse and the 10 o'clock hour.
And my apologies. I meant to say, obviously I meant to say space. So the space track, where again is it located?
We are in 212, 213 of the Hilton, second floor. Come across the Habit Trail and go to your left.
All right. So we normally play a game at the end of this. We're going to play one round this time because we also have we have another person waiting in the wings for this. What we're going to do is we're going to pit you against Lee in it's only one round, Lee. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a choice of three different topics. For example, if you chose and you're going to choose one of them, if you chose, let's say, types of astronomical objects, what would be the first thing you would say?
The sun.
And then Lee would say,
come on.
Right. And so we just go back and forth until either we hit 10 or you, or one person can't think of anything else.
Another one. Okay. Yeah.
So here are your choices. Hold on, let me pull up my spreadsheet. I should have done that already. All right.
So much hate, John. So much hate. Just telling you now.
Okay, arcade racing games, comic what? Book. Yeah, well, that's a choice. Yeah. Comic book conventions, genre conventions. Name those, or what's this one? Oh, named vehicles that have gone into space.
Named vehicles that have gone into space.
Okay, all right. So
so much hate.
So Rain, you start.
Mariner.
Lee.
Voyager.
Rain.
Oh my goodness. Cassini.
Lee.
Enterprise, the shuttle.
Sure. It's gone into space.
All right. Rain. We want to go that way. Then we can do Apollo.
Okay. Lee.
I do also Gemini. I watch the right stuff. Rain.
Endeavor.
Lee.
Rover. The little cutie guy he's the one on, Rover.
Spirit and Opportunity. Yeah. I'll give you those. All right, let's go to Mars then. Let's do the Mars Odyssey.
Lee.
What's the little cute thing on Mars?
The small one was Surveyor.
No, the little one that's on the ground right now walking around.
Well, there's Curiosity is the bigger one. And then, Spirit is the one that's not working anymore. Opportunity Curiosity is the one that's been going 13 years when it was supposed to go through 3 months.
Which one is that one? The 13 years?
That's Opportunity.
Okay. Go with Curiosity and then she's going to say Opportunity and then
I'm going to say Explorer 1. Explorer 1 was our first satellite that US put up.
Lee.
Okay. And I'm going to say Opportunity.
All right, then I'm going to say Sputnik 1, which was the first satellite ever.
Oh. Lee?
The NBC satellite, because I watch football.
I don't know. I'm going to have to give you a big on that. Okay.
Landsat, all the Landsat satellites.
All right, you win then, Rain.
If I hadn't, oh my goodness, I'd have to resign my title. Lee, you did a phenomenal job. Lee, that was fabulous.
Thank you. I know a little bit.
No, that really was. I mean, not a lot of people can name that many things that have actually gone into space. So that was very, very impressive. You get lots and lots and lots and lots of credit for that.
Yay, I'm so glad I married an aerospace engineer. He's also now a chef.
I don't have one of those in my house.
John, get us out of this because she's got to go and we got to go.
Okay, yes. She's got to launch.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to hearing this so I can tell everybody. Send me an email. Let me know when it actually is going to go out so I can tell my people.
We will. It should be, this one should be up Monday, I believe.
You don't know when it's going to be up.
It's either Monday or Tuesday. One of those two. Okay. So until next time. For Rain and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Yay!
And curiosity. And bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.